Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. I'm Hydro once again. And I'm with my co-host, Dr. X, once again. And for this episode, we are joined by Biebs. Welcome, Biebs.
Hi.
Welcome.
Cool. Great to have you on.
It's super cool to be on.
Yeah, because you've said that you've listened to a decent amount of our episodes previously.
Yeah, because I had wanted to take part for quite a while, but I hadn't really been in a stable place to, you know, do that. A lot of anxiety and equipment and moving around. But listening to some of the stuff, I was like, oh, this is chill. Like, I could do this. And so, yeah, now I'm here.
I'm glad you're here. Yee. You would describe yourself as a streamer and artist. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a polyglot pretty much, but primarily like artist, streamer, all that. I sometimes do voice acting, coding, blah blah blah, but mostly artists and that stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm dabbling on a bunch of shit as well, so I know the feeling.
Yeah,
you have to juggle everything.
I think that's how all creative people are.
Oh God, yeah. I got like each toe in a different skill set. It's crazy.
Yeah, seriously. With regards to what you create, that would include like Lolly and Shota stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, I love to. So right now on AC, which is like my main blog right now, at Biebs, B-E-E-B-Z. I sometimes write like, I guess like they're like half headcanon exchanges, half fix. Like I did a stream earlier today, kind of like reading off some of them, but. I'm like into Hetalia, so I do like some of the characters like in this situation. I'm also super into cunt boys too, so I write a lot of FTM Shota and stuff like that. And yeah, I mostly write the stuff rather than draw, because a couple years ago I ended up getting nerve damage in my arms, which has made stuff difficult. But yeah, I still draw it a lot, just don't take commissions much anymore. But it's always been a big part of my life. Even if I'm not like outwardly creating stuff, I'm like always RPing it, thinking about it.
When did you start like making this kind of art or writing or creations in general?
Okay, so my Shota origin story is basically started off as like the yaoi fangirl stuff. So my friend at the end of fifth grade basically introduced me to the concept of yaoi. And like, let's see, if I was is fifth grade, this was 2005. Yeah. So no, 2006. There we go. So it was 2006. I was 12. And I had always known that like gay people existed, but it always, like in my house, it was like, oh, they're kind of weird. And like in media, it was like always a joke. But like when my friend like showed me some of this stuff, like she had some manga, I forget of what, but I remember buying Loveless and looking up Genjo Romantica, Enzai, that classic OVA. I even played the game, the visual novel Enzai. It was and it was hard to find back then, not even because it was like vilified, it just was so niche that, you know, in English speaking communities that it was hard to find. Like let me put it this way, like yaoi wasn't blocked in the school stuff. Yeah, I almost said Shota stuff. The yaoi wasn't blocked in the school filters yet, so I would straight up like, oh my god, go on like Angel Fire and look up like all this things. But anyway, that summer I got to like explore like, oh, I can make these characters even though they're both boys, I can make them kiss, and like it was really interesting. And I guess it was both like sexuality awakening in puberty, because like I don't know. I remember my argument for yaoi, because everybody was like, that's weird, that's gross, blah 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 blah. Because I was the stereotypical yaoi fangirl, but I was fucking 12. Give me a goddamn break. Let me live. Oh shit, what was I talking about?
You were talking about like having an argument for yaoi or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So my argument for liking yaoi back then was, I don't have to see big tits in my face, because if I'm watching porn, I don't want to see the woman. It's just two guys. little did my fucking pansexual ass know. Anyway, but Shota, in terms of that, was not even like a special category. I don't even think I discovered like the name of it until late summer of that summer, because since I was 12, I it just came naturally to me to want to associate with the characters that were close to my age. So like
yep.
Yeah, exactly. So my first ever fan fiction ever in my life was Sonic the Hedgehog fan fiction centered on Tails. And oddly enough, even though Son Tails is like my OTP, I think it was like Tails and Knuckles that I intended for that fan fiction to go to. But it was really interesting, because as I wrote, I kind of like free wrote, I didn't plan this out. As I wrote, it ended up getting like I guess very self-exploratory, you know, projecting my feelings onto Tails and stuff like that. Sadly, I don't remember a lot of it, probably due to like trauma. I don't remember a lot of my home life back then. But I know what ended up happening was that he fell off a cliff for some fucking reason, because he couldn't fly anymore. Then he wakes up and like Shadow non-cons him while Rouge videotapes it. And I was It kind of came out of left field, but I was like, this is awesome. And I remember like I had the little wire notebooks, and I would like force my friends to read it, and they'd be like, oh, and I would like egg them on and like read. And I like, and like I think a common thing I was told by my friends was like, fuck, you write good, but it's so fucking weird. Yeah. And then after that that first foray into fan fiction, oh boy, that's when I got into my first fandom, motherfucking Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't know why or how, because I actually used to hate Yu-Gi-Oh! For some reason when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it might have been because, like, it only went on, like, after I went to, like, after I, was already in bed, because like 10 p.m. Toonami, blah blah blah. I think when I actually got a chance to like watch it like straight through, I was like, oh, I love this. I love Yugi. I love Bakura and everything like that. I also of course had a crush on like Kurama from Yu Yu Hakusho. I mean, like everybody in manga was like at most 16. Like, you know, the fucking Shota coded characters like in Orin Host Club and all that, they were like a necessity almost. God, even Free, I never watched Free, but like they always had the super cute boy. But now it's like, I don't know, everybody's so like, you ever seen somebody some art where it's like I'm not dissing the art of course, but where it's almost like they're almost like trying too hard to age them up?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Well, yeah, like Patreon likes to go by the Tanner scale, and it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I went off track. So yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Became my main thing, and I loved, I think my favorite ships were like Ryo and Bakura and Yugi and Yami and all that stuff. And that's when I got into roleplay. And my best friend, who is my best friend, who is now my ex-best friend recently, sadly, but we were friends for 15 years and we roleplayed all sorts of stuff. I remember this one roleplay recently. It was Hasbun Hotel with Charlie and Lilith. So that was mom-daughter stuff. And that was really interesting. Like, mom-daughter is my favorite pairing when it comes to that type of stuff. But like, you can probably tell the way my voice gets, I'm still embarrassed by it. Because of my own thing and like the closeness of it, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, even before I knew what like coping was as a teenager, I effectively was like coping with all of these stories, because like I can't really tell you like what was going on at home or even in school during like 2006 and 2008, but I could probably tell you like almost all of the silly ideas that I had growing up. Like, one of them was called My Fair Princess, where it was like, oh, this fucking boy gets a vagina like every full moon or some shit, and they're like engaged. It was fucking Cyrus and Jaden. the arranged marriage. And then there was another one with, I forgot what the name of it was, but it was like Ryo like jumping Yugi in the woods and because he was a yandere, all sorts of stuff. And I would just straight up do this in class, like fucking it pissed off the teachers, because I would be drawing or writing, completely ignoring them, and they would try to like catch me off guard. They would be like, oh hey Beavs, what's this? And I'll be like, it's X, Y, and Z. And it'd be the right answer. I wouldn't even fucking look up from the page. And they'd be like, you're right, but put it away. And I'm like, no.
No, so they couldn't complain that you didn't know the stuff.
It reminded me of an anime character.
What, me?
Yeah. You're like already gone through all of life's experiences and already know every single formula.
Like the genius who's like, yep, like doesn't like pay Senku attention in class because they don't have to.
Yeah, yep. I mean, there are people like that. That happens all the time. And I mean, it's just funny that you were already writing horny like fan fiction that early on. Because see, back in 2005, 2006, that would have been, I would have been in my senior year in high school at that point and going into college. So, what I thought was interesting is how in the beginning of your origin story, you were saying that like, I had heard about gay people, but I didn't know that. Like, it sounded like you were making them sound like they were the Loch Ness Monster or...
No, but they were in my household. It was so interesting. Like, I had a fucking so like in Spanish there's some like words that are like slurs, but like they're also like used affectionately, but not even in a reclaimed way, like maricón and pato. Like, pato literally means duck, but it's also like I guess the equivalent of F slur. And same thing as maricón was like full F slur. But like you'd see like the macho dudes be like, "Hey, maricón, ¿cómo se siente?" and all that stuff. So like, you know, it was like all these the same thing was trans people. Like this is gonna sound fucking ridiculous. I did not know trans people were real until I joined Tumblr.
Oh wow.
That was in high school.
Tumblr was an education.
Yeah, it was not the, you know, lightest touch, but I got off like safer than some other people.
How old were you?
Let me see. This was 2009. It was like 14, 13. No, 15. Maybe. I don't know. It's all weird. Yeah, 14-ish.
Yeah, that was around the same time for me as well when I found out.
Yeah, things get kind of blurry. I had like three gender revelations. I had like three gender revelations for myself that got like squashed down about being like non-binary and stuff. And I was like, I want to present androgynous. And then like I don't know, like other stuff, like mainly my mother being a bitch, which like, I don't know, anybody who follows me like knows like that's a big factor in a lot of my coping stuff. And actually, that's a good segue into when, let me see, when I was in eighth grade, was it eighth grade or it might have been eighth or seventh grade, but in any case, that I had been creating a lot of yaoi and stuff like that. I even like had my mom like make photocopies of it at work, and so that I could like paint, I could like paint a copy without messing up the original, and I would do the pen stuff. This is also the time that I got on DeviantArt too, and was like uploading my stuff, was like the camera at the full resolution to make your page scroll horizontally. Oh god, the scraps. Yeah, so around that time I was super into like, this was the first time I was like backing up my art and like archiving it somewhere that wasn't just me, and meeting other people. My mother was like, I guess she was kind of like, she was not into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was definitely one of those types where it was like, oh, it's fine unless it's my child. And, you know, I plastered my room full of like these drawings. I guess she thought it was like, oh, it's a phase. If I push back, it's going to be worse. Like, but, you know, so anyway, as a additional thing I should note, I had this comic that I had been working on since 2006. And January 2nd, 2006, I made my first couple of OCs, Alexandra and Leo. They were cats. And then I made this like whole comic series. By the time I was in like eighth grade, I had like eight books, you know, with like the little, you take the printer paper, you fold it in half. And each book was like maybe like average 50 pages. So I would just do that all the time up until the yaoi part. And then I kind of like divided my time. But anyway, one day, one evening, my mother was getting into an argument with me. But the biggest part was like, she wanted me to get over there and read an article about why God said like being gay was bad. And I just, like, not only did I, when I, like, when I was religious back then, like, not only did I not believe that, I just straight up did not want to read it because I didn't want that kind of stuff in my head. So, like, she was insisting, and I just, you know, I was just sitting on the stairs and I was like, no, I don't. And, you know, in response to that, she fucking, rushed past me up the stairs, went to my room and started ripping all the art off the walls and my thing.
Dang.
And then the comic that I had mentioned that I've been working on for 4 years didn't even have a lick of yaoi in it, and she just saw it, picked it up and ripped all of it up. And I remember just being like, my God, like, I just remember straight up, like, my soul leaving my body and, like, literally falling to my knees in, like, the confetti of all that, you know?
And that sucks.
Yeah, it's a pretty formative moment. And I guess it was a turning point, right? Because yeah. I had already been using Shota, Yaoi, and all this stuff to cope. And I guess this like extreme pushback of like, you know, not respecting my boundaries, it kind of clicked something else in me, so to speak. And that is a little bit related to why I like the mom-daughter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like my own reasons. I still can't unpack all that stuff, but I've been no contact with her for a while, so that's all good, Gucci and good. And like, fucking, I get to draw my fucked up porn and live off of it. So yay.
Yeah, you don't get your shit ripped up anymore. That's good.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, it's kind of funny because I learned to back up my backups because of her bullshit. Like, I think I have all my art saved back from 2016 because she kept breaking my laptops. So then I discovered Dropbox and that I stopped caring. Yeah.
Glad you did.
Yeah. Now I got Dropbox and Mega. And a USB drive. I'm super like, I'm disorganized, but like, I got like lots of options.
Listen, some people don't back up their stuff at all. So I think you're good.
Yeah. I think my favorite part about this is I managed to upload my art archive to itch.io for free downloads. If anybody wants to look at that.
Oh, cool.
I never knew if itch.io like allows it. It feels like a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, doesn't it? With Sholi?
This, I guess in general, like because sometimes you see like Shota and Lole on Twitter, and it's kind of just a matter of like, if you don't get like a hate mob reporting your shit, then sometimes you can fly past the radar or under the radar. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It bleh. There's always ideas, and I don't know. We gotta expand. We gotta do like go back to the web ring style of stuff and independence, and I don't know. Rah rah rah. Fediverse.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like Borag or Athey. That's essentially what it is. It's like a return of the web ring thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, listen, I might not like the federated servers that Borag has, but I do value the fact that it is a choice and it is freedom for people. And like AC and Borag being like, I don't know if I should call it brother or sister servers. I feel like I kind of want to alternate, but like, because it's cute. But like, it's nice. I mean, some ACNs have sorry, I just came up with that on the spot. I don't even remember.
You just coined it.
Yeah, I don't even remember if that's like the accepted term. But anyway, I see some ACNs like have Borag as like their art only thing, AC as their personal. So that's also really cool because, you know, AC is all around like not only the freak stuff, so to speak. It's like freak and behind the freak.
Yeah, there's like people posting about their personal lives or, you know, stuff like that or inner thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I use it for. That's why I have it like in my palm stream like linked, because it's like I quit Twitter, I think like in 2020, because I gave it like one last shot trying to be like a clean artist. Oh yeah. My fucking God, never again. But like AC really changed my perspective on how healthy, like, you know, different social stuff can be. And it's like, you know, it's so nice to be around people who, instead of being like, oh gross, like, which is, you know, so common, it's like, fuck yeah, and then what?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that Athey has been so good to you, and it is super important that people have places where they can just be themselves.
Yeah, for real. It's genuinely been helping with like recovering from like all the crap I've been through. So that's definitely cool.
Oh yeah, totally. You mentioned the Sonic and Tails fan fiction. It's funny because Hydro and I were talking about the like what the ship name would be because we weren't completely sure, and someone mentioned it should be Snails or something.
I would still like that one.
I always was really bad at like predicting ship names because turns out, so like commonly it's San Tails, but yeah. I when I tried searching it up, I think I just said Sails straight up, which I like, but San Tails is like more clear. Yeah. I also like low-key missed the Yu-Gi-Oh style of ship names, which were similar to the old Pokemon style, which was just like random word that relates to the ship and then shipping it, which is it's so much more confusing, but it's fun. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you got my favorite ship, Heart Shipping, which is Yugi and Ryo, and then you got Peach Shipping, which is Yugi and Taya. Yeah, I remember.
Oh my God, that would be confusing. That'd be so confusing.
I think I had like a list printed out at school of like just the there was like a master list of ships on someone's DeviantArt journal, and some of them were like straight up insane. But I remember getting like copy pasting that in a Word doc while I was at school, just like erasing the ones I didn't care about and like keeping the ones I was like kind of intrigued about. And it was like 7 fucking single pages of the ship names. Yeah, I did a lot of that stuff at school. I remember there was one time, I don't remember what I was drawing, but it was probably some Yu-Gi-Oh porn. Like, I got it taken away from my teacher during class, and I had never been so fucking pissed before. So like stuff happened, and then I was in like the, I don't know, guidance counselor or dean, I don't remember what they were called, but I was in some official's like fucking room, like office, there we go. And I was I did not give a fuck. I started like when they left the room to leave me alone, I straight up got up and started rifling around their stuff. And I just kept saying the same thing. It was like, I want my art. That's my art. So like, that was my world, because, you know, everything else was sucking. So
I mean, yeah, like so many people use art or, you know, writing some kind of creation to escape mm-hmm. from things that should be better in the real world, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And as an adult, like, I was able to draw a lot more with, when I left home, I straight up like paid my rent with, you know, furry commissions. But not only that, like, it was specifically cub commissions on Ink Money that helped so much, like the Your Character Hears and like little stuff and custom commissions. Like, I got so many, and they were hard to handle. Like, there's some now, like, I straight up admit that I have lapsed on, but I'm trying my best to keep up with people. And I do want to like pay back what I owe now that I have like all this stuff. But the point is, like my life was subsidized by Sholi. And that was really cool. It was, even though it was a struggle and, you know, it led to, you know, overwork and all that stuff, I still genuinely enjoyed being able to like draw all this like, you know, quote unquote weird stuff, but like positive, you know, on my own time. And like, such, like, I encountered a lot of like really pretty like for like cub designs too, like that I was just like hoping that they would commission me again just so I could like draw the character. And it was nice.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super nice.
I mean, it must have been a huge change for you, because you previously had, you know, a lot of history being judged for what you draw. And then now you have people paying you to draw this stuff, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was so great. And then, what was it? Once I started doing the voice acting as well, oh my God, everything exploded, but like in a good way. So I just randomly did like a voice skit of Triste, my persona, Blue Cat Boy. And what was it? It was a POV of like my persona sucking your dick. That sounds like a threat almost. Oh my God. But yeah, I put that up on Fur Affinity, and people went apeshit. And I was like, oh my God. And then I remember I did like a little audition / contest for somebody for their character. And I just gave it a whirl. And then, like, you know, they were like, oh, you did great. Here's $100. I was like, what? So I used to go by Yim Yim sometimes when I was worried about like separating stuff. Yeah. But I've voiced some cubs in like Bloodhawks animation. I remember voicing like a filly in what was her name? Rabble Rouser in, I don't know what it's called, but I know it had like a fucking like really stupid like Fuda pony, but KFC parody thing in the beginning. I don't know, it was fun.
Oh, that's
that is like an interesting setup.
I wish I knew the name of
Ultimate
the
crossover.
It was great. But yeah, I was getting to work with animators and stuff like that. I mean, I still have to record something for an animator tomorrow. Cause even though I'm like retired, I'm taking like referrals, so to speak. God, that makes me sound so pretentious. But yeah, my friend DS Hoof, she also does the Cub voice acting. She's like she for the longest time has been like the only other person I knew who like openly did Cub and Sholi voice acting. So that's cool. I've worked with them several times. She's really cool. But yeah, they're has been a lot of interesting stuff when it comes to like voicing compared to art. Like there's a lot more immersion, so to speak. Like I remember one time I was working on a commission with like the whole Mami Ara Ara thing, because like sometimes I do like both characters in a skit, so I switch back and forth. And then like when I finished that commission, I like had like a fucking dom drop or something. It was really weird. Like I had heard a sub drop before, but it was interesting. But it's not something that like I avoid. It's really cool.
So you're like getting into the role a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I oh, and I live off of validation, so that shit like fuels me.
It's not something I could do.
I'm gonna eat you up. I'll eat you.
Very cute.
Yeah. That's Hawaii, motherfucker. Sorry.
So for how long have you been doing the voice acting?
The voice acting since 2018.
Oh, so it's been a while now.
Yeah, it has been. The funny thing is I have a lot more well, it's kind of flipped around, but I know I have a lot more struggle to do the voice acting than I do the art, probably because I can't multitask as well. Because, you know, with art, you could listen to music, but you kind of need silence working on voice acting and blah, blah, blah. But also really great for improv and all that stuff.
I bet if you went into like VR chat, you'd be killing it amongst the amongst the anthro community. They would love hearing like role-playing stuff in VR chat.
Oh man, that's an interesting perspective, because I guess it's like I said, even though I get a lot of validation, my confidence is like fucked up. I actually, when I was like in the Hasbin fandom, like everybody and their mother was like claiming to be a VA, and I was like, yeah, chill. Like, I'm not even meaning it in a shady way. Like, they would just have it in their username, and I'm like, okay. And, like, I'm not trying to be shady, but a lot of times they would just quote the show and not offer any spin on stuff or use the radio filter. And I'm just, oh, God, please, just turn it off. Like, you would be better with it off. But I don't know. I want to say, because I'm, like, an AFAB, like, I got a lot of, like, discrimination and weirdness and the has-been thing. And then like, yeah, especially because I loved Vaggy a lot and meh. But I have ERP'd in VR chat before as a loli, and with a dick no less. And that was just super cool. So, and like straight up euphoric, honestly, because I also have full body tracking. So like,
oh nice.
Shota gender is legit.
Finding voice acting for NSFW Lolly and Shota stuff is usually pretty challenging for a lot of different animators and artists. So, you know, that.
Yeah.
But like it's an untapped market by the Dr. X and I think, because it is tough to find, especially those that can really get into the role or can really, you know, role play well and follow, you know, the dialogue and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like you see so many people like trying to find like, you know, they have like a little over ambitious plans and they want to find like, you know, 3 or 4 like voice actors, and I'm like, listen, you're lucky to get one. Honestly. And it's like not even only because it's not only because the content is, I don't know, contentious, it might be the word, but also like you said, you know, you want to have like a good skill set. So like if you don't have that big of a pool, it's kind of hard to work with it. Not to mention that sometimes if you have like the same person over and over, I mean, sometimes people are like, oh, hell yeah, Tara Strong, Tom Kenny. And it's like, oh, this. And then you got other times it was like, oh, this motherfucker again. Like, I don't know. Who's that guy that they've been like memeing on who did Mario?
Oh, Chris Pratt.
Yeah, fucking, oh, this motherfucker again. So, yeah, there's that balance. But I guess I want to encourage, like, if anybody wants to do, like, fucking Sholi voice acting, that they should, like, really go for it, man. Like, regardless of your equipment. Because that time where I got the $100 for just, you know, doing some guy's anthro audition, that was on my fucking laptop internal mic. So I'm sure you can imagine how fucking dog shit that quality would be compared to now. You don't need super awesome stuff. I mean, you get into Audacity, get the noise suppression stuff, do a little magic, and, you know, you could get stuff passable. And as long as, like, you know, you're making stuff that makes you happy and, you know, you get support too, like, that's the important thing. It's great.
Yeah, and you could even make stuff with the equipment you have now and then make money that way and then buy better equipment.
Yeah, like, that's legit what I did when I first got, like, my I forgot. It was the AT2020, which got, like, destroyed, I think, like, 2 years ago because it got crushed under a couch. And I was like, oh, no.
Dang.
How the mic ended up underneath the couch, I don't know, but...
Well, I was couch surfing. Cries. It's okay. It was my fault for being, like, all a hither. But, like, that also had the same problem as a snowball anyway, that I had to swallow it. So I like this headset a lot.
Yeah, the mic quality is pretty good.
Epic.
So, okay, so I want to try to guess what the Sonic and Knuckles ship name would be. Is it Snuckles?
I want to petition for it to be that now, Snuckles, and they go and get Smuckers and use it as lube.
I mean, it seems so logical, right?
Well, yeah, because it sounds like Snuggles, so it's like, oh, Snuckles.
That's cute. That's wholesome.
Yeah, it's perfect. You can be wholesome. You can be lewd. It can be anything.
Snuck me up, Knuckles. Jesus Christ.
What is the actual name? Is it literally just like Tails and Knuckles, or is it just Sonic Knuckles?
That's a good fucking question. I think Sonux would probably be it, like, but with the X. I'm not sure. And then Knuckles Tails. That's a good question. That doesn't really mix well. Knuck Tails, Tail Knux, Knuck Tails, Nut Tails. Yeah.
You know,
Nutails? Sure.
That makes me think of Nutella.
Ew. I know Shadow Tails is Shad Tails. And then...
Shad Tails, not Sonic, I like it.
Sonic Shadow is Sonadow, which I used to LARP with my friend in high school. I was Shadow.
Sonadow sounds like an OC name.
Oh my god, it could be. This is our child, Sonadow. Why does it sound like it's your names pressed together? Why do you sound like you're about to die?
I mean, it sounds like a Ken Penders, like, OC Sonic name. They just ripped from...
Someone must have done that, like, wrote a fanfiction where Sonic and Shadow have a kid and they named it Sonadow. That must have happened.
Oh my god, I used to read so much Sonadow Mpreg. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I was just about to say that there are plenty of Sonadow butt babies. There are plenty of them.
Oh man, I've seen so many, like, fics tackle the Mpreg situation. Very interestingly, I think my favorite one was from a Sonic Shadow fic where it was like, they're taking, like, some kind of hormone thing that'll give them a vagina temporarily for the thing. I don't know. I know earlier today, when I was talking about cunt boys, in the stream, I was like, boy womb. And now I'm, like, obsessed with that idea. Boy womb.
It's a new term.
Boy womb.
You know, in the Sonic fandom, like, Tails is, like, such a versatile Shota cub.
He is so good.
Yeah.
He can pair with like any Sonic character. Like, that you get Tails and Rouge is a huge one. You get Tails and Sonic, you get Tails and Shadow, you get Tails and Knuckles, you can get Tails and Cream. You can get like any kind of pairing.
Don't forget the anime Tails and Cosmo. A lot of inks there.
Is that the human character?
No, Cosmo was like that alien plant girl. I never got that far in the anime, to be honest. I remember being on Gaia Online and fucking just obsessing over screenshots of Tails. Ugh, yeah, he was prime Shota bait. Yum. Delicious.
Still is.
Yeah, true. I used to watch The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, like, so... I still have rent-free in my brain where, like, Sonic is, like, listing off a whole bunch of stuff and Tails is, like, scribbling it down, like, super, super, like, intently. And Sonic's like, okay, what do we got? And he looks at it and it's just, like, nothing but scribbles. And he's like, I'm only 4.5 years old. I don't know how to write yet. And I'm like, oh, God, I love my baby.
Oh, yeah, The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, man, that was a crazy, crazy show, because the animation was so wacky in that show, but it was fun, though.
Yeah, I remember another episode where, like, Tails wanted to, like, find his family or something, and then Scratch and Grounder, like, pretended to be his, like, real family, so, like, you know, he left Sonic, and then, like, at the end there, I forget what the lead-up was. But Sonic was like, I love you, little buddy. And I was like dying because he like picked Tails up and like spun him around. And I was like, oh my God, yes, kiss him.
It's canon.
He's so, I love him. I love him. Oh my God. I my heart. Oh my God.
I wish there were more pairings of Tails and Princess Sally, Tails and Bunny Rabbit. Those, I love those two characters.
Oh, Rabbit. I remember her. She was cool. Oh, man.
Had the Southern accent and everything. It was great. I loved that was the other Sonic the Hedgehog show, SADAM, as it's called, Saturday AM Sonic.
Yeah. So what I remember from that, I actually like read the first issue of that in the fucking Sonic Mega Collection GameCube thing. I like zoomed in, like they had the whole like comic of the first one, and then they had the covers, and I just looked through all of them. God, I'm nostalgic for that now. Jesus.
I used to collect the Sonic the Hedgehog Archie comics when they were really at like mega peak. It was like issues 20 to like 50 or 60, or they were really good.
This was Archie comics, right?
Archie comics, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Archie comics itself to begin with. Like, I straight up remember reading Betty and Veronica at like cookouts and stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because that's how it started off.
Yeah. Oh man, like it's so much harder, it feels like, to find a Western comics like online compared to manga, because like, you know, like if you tell somebody, oh, where do I start to read Dragon Ball, you'd be like, okay, Dragon Ball Volume 1.
Yep.
But if you ask somebody, okay, where do I start with Spider-Man, oh my gosh.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm, yeah. Dr. X and I have talked about this before. It's like, what the fuck? Where do you even start? Well, I mean, there is this particular timeline, yeah. But then there's also this one too, and then there's this one. And
if you ask like where to start with, people are going to give you a bunch of different answers.
It's like asking a bunch of Linux people what distribution to use.
Yeah,
that is like that. Yes.
Oh my God.
No diss on the Linux people, but yes, very opinionated on that.
Man, my first Minecraft server, some motherfucker told me to use CentOS. I was like, oh my God. Like, listen, I was so dumb about like that stuff that like I actually put the little $ in front of the commands and I was like, why isn't it working? Oh my God, Jesus almighty. 8 hours to set up a Minecraft server. I've lowered that down to like 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, nowadays you can literally go on like a site where it's all pre-made and you just click a few things and then it's all set up and you got your Minecraft server and you can load any mods you want into it. It's so much more convenient.
And you had to pay for that?
No, it's all free.
Really? Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. The only thing that you have to watch out for is if you don't use it after a certain amount of time, they'll delete the server.
Oh, that one's Eternals, yeah.
Yes, I've used it before, and it's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's not bad. If you want to customize stuff, though, you gotta, like, get your own, like, server and blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what sucks. I did do Minecraft admining for a little while, was doing Pixelmon and stuff. I mean, I would like a modded Minecraft server, like, that Pump people can use, but that's because I'm a little bitch that likes my mods. But in any case, one of my friends wants to play Ocean Block with me anyway soon, so I might just do that for a little bit with her.
Ocean Block's like a Minecraft mod?
Yeah, is it Ocean Block even called? Yeah, it's a Feed the Beast mod pack where I guess it's similar to Sky Factory and Stone Block, except like you're like on an island and you get a lot of your stuff from like the water.
The way people name these mods is like, I when I ever hear them, like, is that like a separate game? Is that like an indie game itself?
Yeah.
They're always named that way.
Sometimes it feels that way. Like RL Craft is just like heinous.
The one I played was a Better Minecraft, and it really does feel like Minecraft 2. That's basically what it is, and it's great.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of packs out there for like Vanilla Plus and stuff. I feel like ever since, actually it's been kind of recently, like modding for Minecraft has kind of like diverged a little bit away from mostly everybody using Forge. Like now it's like a pretty evenish split of Fabric and Forge, and even like offshoots of Fabric like Quilt, and man, it's a little hard to manage, but I'm just glad I don't have to like go into the jar and delete meta inf anymore, because I used to have to do that.
Yeah,
that was way back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it seems easier than ever to do modding in general for video games, mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yeah.
And that's especially great for like if you want to like put in like Lolly stuff or Shota stuff. It's awesome.
God, yeah.
There's like the Sims 4 Lolly and Shota mods.
Oh God, yeah.
And that person managing it is like on top of things. It's like as soon as like a new patch for Sims 4, that person like has a new patch for the mod to make it compatible. It's amazing.
Yeah, I downloaded a shit ton of them the other day, and I conglomerated them all into this like one fucking holy mess of a pack. I gotta go through and like trim it down and figure out like how to do like mod packs via Simlinks or whatever, but because like if you add too much shit like this in a disorganized way, you're just gonna like you're gonna run into problems and blah blah blah, and like, oh no, why is the kid's dick in the dog's mouth but like they're across the street or some shit like that.
Oh wow, so it's like transdimensional. It's cool.
Yeah. They have that like whole mod ball thing, but I don't remember. I think there were like issues about it. It was like the most recent patch, and that was like a pain in the ass. People were talking about on ATF, but oh man, I gotta see if I know they exist, but I gotta like see if I could find a more full like texture mod for 100% orange juice, because those characters are so cute and that would be fun to like just have them all naked and stuff. But like, oh, I also want to do like a texture mod for Cult of the Lamb. That would be fun.
Oh yeah, I'm amazed there haven't been more like sexy mods for Cult of the Lamb.
Didn't they add the sex update or what?
Yeah, it literally is the sex update. Yes. Yep.
I haven't played that far yet in the actual game, but I do want to like, I have the, like the resources I need to figure out how to do it, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm also like, shit, I should try to figure out how these, all the possible things, like I should try to like get that far in the game first, and I'm like, wah. But maybe I can make like a custom goat model or some shit. I don't know.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Remember there was briefly a new patch for Sims 4, and by accident they like it like enabled incest or something like that. I remember that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they should have kept it. They should have kept it in.
Yeah. Oh man, Folgers coffee commercial, blah blah blah, all that stuff. Yes.
So you said are you currently on break and taking commissions, or is it like,
yeah,
are you still open to like people trying to network with you and stuff?
Like that, I guess, kind of, yeah. Like I'm always down to talking to people. I'm a giga extrovert. I love talking to people. I love helping people when I can, making friends and all that. Direct commissions I'm not taking right now because I have some that I have like two art ones that need to be finished still. I do intend. And then another one I need to contact somebody on. But yeah, I got enough stress overheads so far. I don't need more, unfortunately. But I'm always down to give people tips about like shit.
So do you have any plans in the future for like art, like any projects you really want to work on?
Oh boy, I know I wanna continue writing one of my Shota fanfics that, what was it called? It was Nothing Funny About Humor, which is Italia, France, England fanfic with like a doctor with Munchausen's by proxy and the hapless Shota who's like, just trusts him and everything. And there's a lot of like, bullshit, but it gets weird because I have like the whole thing like kind of written out. It just needs to be heavily edited and that stuff. Art wise, oh my god, this is gonna sound silly, but like in the hospital I fucking it's like the school thing is catching up to me again, but in the hospital I fucking drafted like a some plans for a Shota CG POV thing with Triste again.
Oh nice.
Including I'm just laughing because I'm just like, I wasn't allowed a pen in there. I had to use a fucking like Crayola marker. Oh my god. And I'm like, yeah, it's back to school again.
This dedication. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
So if you do end up doing those, will you post them on your AFE?
Oh, like 1000%. Like I'll post it on AO3 for the fan fiction, and then what is it, definitely Ink Bunny and Athey. Like Ink Bunny's been like my main like what do you call it, I guess like shiny gallery site,
lifeline.
Yeah, literally that too. But yeah, that was like my shiny gallery site, so I'll definitely put it up there too. I never liked the feeling of paywalling anything. Even for like early access, it's just I don't know, my brain processes it weird. So I always put my stuff up as like what is it called, like donation optional kind of thing. Yeah, I love that model so much because it's no pressure. Yeah,
Hetalia, it sounds like you've been in that fandom for quite a while now.
Oh yeah, let's see, I think I started like 14 years ago or something. Oh, like that.
Oh man, it's crazy.
Let me see, I know, oh my god, I know the biggest fan fiction I have for that I wrote 10 years ago, and that was already when I was into it for a little bit. So yeah,
when I was young, I always wondered like how are people getting into this stuff, because like I can't fucking find it on television.
Oh yeah, for real. It was always like grapevine type stuff, because it's similar to like how I discovered yaoi. It's just like somebody knows about it, and then you like, same thing with fucking Naruto. Like people were talking about Naruto in school, and then I bought the first book in Barnes & Noble. So I was like, okay, never bought another one, but I did like the Sasunaru kiss accidental. It was funny. Oh man. And then I totally read like oh my god, I remember there was this one like really popular doujin where like Kakashi and Iruka were like spying on Sasuke and Naruto fucking through the window of like a shack or some shit. And because like, I don't know, Iruka had sex anxiety or something like that. Oh man, it was, I kind of want to find it again. And so it was funny because like the teacher had to learn from the student. Little sluts.
Eider, did you ever read fan fiction when you were younger?
I don't know if I ever did. That's the thing. Like, I was much more into like the comics, doujins, mangas. Like if it was visual, I would like them. That's what I was more into.
I read so much fan fiction, like on fanfiction.net as well.
Oh yeah,
of all places.
Yeah, I remember being there and like typing in lemon or whatever.
Oh my god, lemon, lime, don't read. That was my era, man.
Mm, totally.
When Quizzilla still existed.
oh Jesus, that's a blasphemy fest. People had quizzes that are like what Naruto character are you and stuff, shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right? And they'll be like so obvious, and it'd be like, what's your favorite color? Black, like my soul. It's like pink, and then like a fucking smiley face, and it's like orange because like you gotta be, I'm a danger, baby, caution. I don't know.
Yeah, they would make it super fucking obvious.
Yeah, it was always super funny. Oh my god, there was what do you call it? I guess like a re-upload of a quiz going around of like what, uh-huh, which Seme or Uk you are on AC, and like, mm-hmm, it was like the original one. I gotta like find it and see. I don't remember which one I got. I think it might have been a Seme. I would have to like look at all the results to remember, because once I get that image in my head, it's gonna be like, yep, that was me.
I remember distinctly being on fanfiction.net and looking at Final Fantasy X fanfiction.
Ooh.
I think you had the obvious like Tidus X Yuna stuff because that's canon, but mm-hmm, I think the one that was most surprising to me to see like there was a pretty decent amount of them was Riku and Aran. And the reason why that was a little surprising for me is because Aran's like an older man and Riku's like a teenager.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they had very opposite personalities. But I think it's probably those two combinations, like the age difference and the personality difference, is what attracted those people into writing those stories, because it's like an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, for real. Oh man, I used to, let me see, I would read a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh, of course, sometimes Pokemon. Oh my god. So my, not the original fanfiction.net that I made when I was like 13, I deleted that shit like once I became sentient so fast. But my older fanfiction from like 2010 is still around, and I still take pride that I wrote the first Hot Skitty on Waylord action fanfiction.
Oh, the first one? Wow.
Yeah, at least the first one on fanfiction.net that I can recall. And it's a male Waylord with a female Skitty. And she goes flying in the air at some point, as you would think.
Yes, that makes sense. Yes, it's logical.
It's great. In my writing, I always like to be a little bit silly.
Uh-huh.
Because even in the angst, it's weird. Like, I remember one where it was Cyrus and he was getting caught like low-key masturbating by the pool jets by Chaz. Uh-huh. And like he got his inner tube taken away and he can't swim, and he was like he's in the pool and he gets his inner tube taken away, and he has this whole inner monologue about how his life is. I was like, all right, that's it for me. It's like it's so melodramatic, but like that's the way a teen would think.
Oh yeah, totally. So these days, like, what do you usually like? What fandom do you usually write fan fiction for?
I think I go back and forth between Hetalia and Hasbun Hotel. I haven't touched Yu-Gi-Oh in a while. There are a few other things I want to play upon, like Digital Circus and I'm trying to think. Oh, Cookie Run. I fucking love Cookie Run. Like, it's so good.
Oh yeah. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I've seen people mention it, but I don't really know what it is.
So Cookie Run is like not a multiverse, so to speak, but like it's a bunch of games, not just one game. So the original Cookie Run is Cookie Run Oven Break, and that's the first like runner. The most popular one, I think, is Cookie Run Kingdom. And that one's like, it's hard to like define it as one genre. It's like a mixture of like those town, the older like town management ones where you like, you know, spend time to get resources to do this. But like the main aspect of it is the gacha and using those cookies to like fight through the stages. It actually has a pretty interesting story, like, believe. And the characters are really well done. And same with the voices. The voices they got for some of these characters is like really cute.
Oh, nice.
And oh my God, like you got the Shota cookies especially are delicious. Like pancake cookie, oh my God, put a syrup all over you, bro.
Oh yeah, I'm seeing the pancake cookie. These actually are actually really good designs for just being like gingerbread cookies, yeah. Or just like cookie characters. Like they definitely are fuckable. Yeah. I like them.
So much. I like Milky Way Cookie. She's a girl, but she's so Shota coded. So I'm like, bro, she's honorary. She's so cute. But let me see. I think one of my favorites is Black Raisin Cookie. I identify with her a lot. She's super cool.
What's funny is that there's a Tails cookie and a Sonic cookie. That's really funny.
Yeah, I have the Sonic cookie from like the fucking event, but like I didn't understand the event fast enough to get the Tails cookie. They even have like Disney cookies, but like the Disney cookies are just for like wandering around the kingdom. You don't battle with them. But I wasn't there for that collab. There's even a BTS fucking collab. I'm like, bro.
Oh, jeez.
There's BTS cookies.
That's a big leagues.
Yeah.
I had no idea they had all these collabs and stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think isn't Genshin Impact or Honkai Star Rail doing a fucking collab with McDonald's?
Yeah.
Oh my Jesus.
Apparently, when I first saw that, I thought I was like, "Is this fake?"
I mean, it sounds like it would be fake. Yes, like it doesn't sound real at all.
It feels like the Szechuan sauce all over again. Did I say that right, Szechuan?
Yeah. Szechuan, the Szechuan sauce, Morty.
Szechuan.
I know in Genshin Impact, I don't know who these characters are, but like they're these two like, I don't know if they're like supposed to be fox like anthro girls, or there's some kind of anthro lolly girls or something.
Oh. I think I know one of them's Diona.
That might be it.
Diona's, I think, a kitty.
I just remember seeing some really good porn art of them, and I'm just like, I like these. I like these characters.
I think the main one is Paimon, maybe. Like the one that's
maybe you're right.
And I know like Paimon's English VA got people pissed at her because she was making a comment on fandom, and I'm like, you guys gotta like mind your own business, please. Like it's not even like she's not allowed to have an opinion. It's not that. It's just like, don't touch the mass of roaches. They're gonna scatter, and they're gonna scatter on you.
There's definitely something to be said for a careful distance between voice actors and fandom sometimes.
I just think staff in general, because it ends up having that thing where like they, you see this a lot with like the new gallery sites that pop up everywhere. It's like, the first thing people ask is like, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? It's like, they don't even have the framework yet. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, and then you know, half the user base leaves anyway, because, you know, disappointment and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I don't know about website development and all that, but I have seen enough like failed things to know that like, man.
I'm glad there's like Brag, there's Athe, there's ATF. Mm-hmm. AO3, I have to mention that because you can write whatever you want on AO3, which is great. So it's like there's different sites for different people, you know, and that's a good thing, right? Because if one site doesn't vibe with you, you got another site to go to. That's one of the advantages of having different sites.
Yeah, and it's like what I said earlier. It's like I really appreciate Barag existing for that thing with like freedom or safety kind of thing. And it's like, well, personally, I like having a federated timeline that is, you know, just decent from the get. Yeah, my instance like blocks stuff that like I might not know about or does people, but you know, personally I trust them. But like, you know, it's also like cool for other people to like curate their own shit like more. I'm a little lazy. I don't want to do it that hard.
Oh yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I like totally respect that there's more spaces and different demographics. It's
yeah,
kind of like what we need, you know, like that whole like little niche communities intersecting and overlapping instead of just like one mega conglomerate of like people, which is you know, inevitably gonna have people just angry at each other because not everybody is gonna mix.
Yeah, that's true. So if people want to check out your stuff, like what sites are you on, like what's your username?
So Ink Bunny, Pomp, and Afy, all of those, I am Beebz, B-E-E-B-Z. And AO3, I think, I don't remember. I think it's the Beebz there. But yeah, Beebz, my Afy pretty much has links to like almost everything. Same with my Pomp. But yeah.
Nice. And cool. So people can expect some artwork in the gallery there and some fan fiction. You also have like any voice work there on your Afy?
So my voice work is kind of a clusterfuck of organization right now, but I do have a pool of all the organized voice work on my Ink Bunny, which is also just Beebz. And that has like my old art and stuff.
And sometimes you stream on Pomp, is that right?
Yeah. And I have a webhook. It automatically like posts to the Afy. Sometimes I announce it on Ink Bunny. I don't really know where else to like shout it out. I update the ATF thread sometimes, but I don't want to be annoying with stuff either.
Also, if you want to watch Beebz do art stuff, or just that's what you do, right? You do art stuff on during your streams or like VR chat. What do you do?
I think I mostly do like I do a variety streams because ADHD, I want to do all sorts of stuff. So I do drawing, just chatting, voice stuff, gaming. It's a kind of stream where you're there for me being a goofball.
You just want to hang out with Beebz on the stream, you know, go check Beebz out because it probably sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm super glad that you're in a kind of a better place. Where you get to hang out with people and share your stuff without being judged. That's super great. I'm really happy that you had that journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic episode with you. We talked a lot about fandom stuff, which is always fun.
I'm so glad. Yay.
Being able to talk about this stuff without being like judged is like huge. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah, so thank you for being on, and thank you very much for reaching out to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.